Well, good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Tuesday, the 9th of July. Very nice to have you on this very summery morning. It's good to have you all here. Let me introduce the gang, and we'll get started. We have a lot to talk about. Governor Cuomo will be joining Alan at 10 o'clock this morning, so we'll have an hour to go over the topics, or a little less, but we'll go over all of those. And we welcome your emails as well. Panel@WAMC.org, panel@WAMC.org. Political consultant Libby Post is with us. Good morning, Libby. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
I'm really good.
You sound good.
Yeah, I am good. I'm
I'm good. I'm fine. Just move on.
Everything is good.
Introduce Rosemary and shut up.
All right. No, I went to a baseball game last night.
Oh, the Valley Cats?
I went to the Valley Cats because the Cyclones were there, which was the Mets team.
Yeah.
Dug out my Mets hat and they lost. So, you know, it's just
one of those things.
But a lovely night at the ballpark.
It was lovely. It was beautiful. I mean, it was really nice. So.
Investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo in the house.
Good morning.
Rosemary.
I'm still stuck on our discussion about the census and if and when it becomes necessary to resist, how best it is to do that. And many listeners wrote to us yesterday saying it is okay to not answer a question. Just leave it blank. And your census form is still counted and it's not lying.
And it's still okay for you not to answer every letter that comes through here, but
Only the ones that really I love or I hate.
I think you just like the challenge of being snarky in writing.
I get that.
I do like that. And speaking
too. You're really good at it. JP Miller is here. The Empire Reports. JP Miller, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Great.
I'm great. Thank you. Good to have you here. Yeah, glad you're great.
Happy to be here.
And look who's here. WAMC's Alan Chartok in the studio, and we couldn't be more happy. Rosemary just noted a moment ago, it seems right now. How are you?
Well, you know, for all those people out there who have had a concussion, and believe me, I can't meet anybody who hasn't had a concussion these days. This thing takes a long time.
Yeah.
It could take months and months and months. Basically, I think I got let off pretty easy. The only thing is that if you look up too quickly or look to the left or look to the right, the world goes around. And other than that, you know, it's good, and you get a little tired, and it's good. But I'm so pleased that so many people gave a damn and said that they felt, you know, that's one with me.
Yes.
Well, I think I can say for all of us, it's really nice to have you back and have you looking so good.
Yeah, you look really
good. You look really good.
You look really good.
Yeah. Well, I went
with your
hat
on.
You look thin, Alan. You need to eat.
Well, if you think I'm looking thin now, I'll tell you this. I went to the hospital. I was in the hospital for one night. I didn't eat for 2 days. And I looked at the scale the next morning. I was 114 pounds.
Oops.
Oh my gosh.
And I said, well, this is obviously the worst thing that you could have. You know, this is not what happened to me.
Right.
So I started eating again. And now this morning, I'm pleased to report I'm up to 120.
Good.
Wow.
Good.
Great.
Good.
And that's such a coincidence because my thigh weighs 114.
Yeah, and you know I don't want to say it on the air, but I got a few pounds on you, Alan.
All right. Well, let's get started. Alan will be with the governor at 10 o'clock this morning, and we'll be.
I'm sorry. We need time to laugh at that.
We'll be ready to go here. What's happening? Oh, my goodness.
Oh my
God. Let's talk about this Jeffrey Epstein story. We were struggling a little bit with the correct pronunciation of the man's name until the indictment came out, and that helped us.
What did it give the pronunciation?
It gave the pronunciation. It's Epstein.
It's
Epstein.
It's usually Steen.
Yes.
It's usually
and it
Steen.
Is in this case as well. Epstein.
I've known 10,000 Epsteins in my
It's usually Epstein,
life. And every once in a while you get some
Epstein. And there's there's Michael Feinstein. There's Dianne Feinstein, but. It's usually the S-T-E-I-N is usually.
It was Mrs. Stein who lived across the street from us on 96th Street, who was very old, and she kept the key because we were always locked out of the apartment.
So focus is an issue with concussion.
No, I'm just leading him to another discussion.
So the new indictment could prompt a reckoning for the Justice Department, which has been accused of mishandling the case. And we'll get into the Labor Secretary in a few moments of his of what's going on there as far as the calls for his removal. A trove of lewd photographs of girls discovered in a safe inside Jeffrey Epstein's Manhattan mansion the same day he was arrested is deepening questions about why federal prosecutors in Miami had cut a deal that shielded him from federal prosecution in 2008. Federal prosecutors in Manhattan charged Epstein on Monday with sex trafficking, dealing an implicit rebuke to that plea agreement, which was overseen by Alexander Acosta, then the U.S. attorney in Miami, now President Trump's labor secretary. The indictment in Manhattan could prompt a moment of reckoning for the Justice Department, which for years has wrestled with accusations that it mishandled the earlier case and has faced a barrage of litigation from Mr. Epstein's accusers. In February, the Justice Department opened its own internal review into the matter. Attorney General William Barr said on Monday during a trip to South Carolina that he had recused himself from the case because Mr. Barr's former law firm, Kirkland & Ellis, had represented Mr. Epstein. Eric Holland, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Labor for Public Affairs, said Mr. Acosta had no comment. The House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, said late Monday night that Mr. Acosta should resign because of the unconscionable agreement that he made with Mr. Epstein in 2008.
I want to just the last thing on Speaker Pelosi that is very interesting to me. Obviously, she came under great criticism for resisting the calls for impeachment. And so it's fascinating that when she gets an opportunity now to come down really hard on Trump or any of the people around Trump, she does. And there was a pretty good example of having done that.
Yeah, that's true.
So, who would like to weigh in on what the latest here?
I just want to say that the Miami Herald gets huge kudos for this.
They do.
They got all these records from 10 years from the FBI and other investigative agencies, and they are the ones who put it all together. They gave a platform to at least two of the victims who are now young women, no longer teenagers, and listened to them when officials did not. And they're all over TV now talking about what they did, and they've gotten the attention finally of officials. So when anyone says you don't need reporters, that the government and our regulatory agencies will protect us, please think of incidences like this. They do not act without investigative reporting.
And on top of that, I just have to say, Rosemary, that unusually, you often see, newspapers giving credit to others, but it's been universal in this case for saying what you've just said.
Yeah.
Even I think the U.S. attorney for the Southern District
cited
them. And it reminds me of the Boston Globe and Spotlight.
Yep.
And the great investigative work that they did.
There's lots of incidences this. Yeah. And the New York Times on Trump's tax is in the same category.
But let's talk about the issues here. I mean, the issues here are that
you feel this greatly.
I do. I mean, it's victimizing young girls, grooming them to be sexual play toys, being a sexual predator and being able to get away with it. Chris Churchill this morning, the TU, made the analogy between this case and the Keith Raniere case with NXIVM. He, too, groomed women and young girls for sex. And, it's got to stop. It has to stop somewhere. And with any luck, Jeffrey Epstein will do whatever it takes to survive. He's one of those guys. He will do whatever it takes. So he may very well flip on many of his buddies who were complicit in these, and we'll see some dominoes fall. You know, there was already a case that has come out about Trump and Epstein being charged with rape of an underage girl that was down in Florida.
Is that right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, it came out during the election.
Yeah, it came out during the election, and it got, settled or thrown out or whatever it was. But this talks about the amount of power men have throughout our society that there's a wink and a nod, and he gets a slap on the wrist, Jeffrey Epstein, and goes to jail for, 13 months, is able to go to work.
Where he could leave during the day. That doesn't sound like jail to me.
Right. Who could go to work when they're in jail? you know, make billions of dollars. And it's all a wink and a nod because I'm not going to say they all wish they could be doing what he was doing, but there's just this rape culture that we live in where, you know, oh, it's just a girl. It's okay.
And for the Rich Honens of the world, if one of these friends who gets caught up in the trap is Bill Clinton, so be it.
Mm-hmm. I feel that way as well.
I have a question.
Absolutely.
As for bringing these prosecutors to justice, like Acosta, like Cy Vance, who obviously, you know,
Harvey
let this
Weinstein.
Guy off easy. Mm. What is the process? How can those prosecutors, you know, who regulates the prosecutors?
Good question.
Well, in the case of Cy Vance, the electorate can because they can vote him out of office. But the U.S. attorneys, that's another whole story. I thought the greatest, the greatest interest to me on this was the Trump quote about he's a good friend.
He's a good friend.
He likes young girls as much as I do.
From 2002.
That's, right. Well, just, from whatever. I mean,
it doesn't matter.
No, I agree.
That's,
I was just saying.
That's actually a misquote. He did not he didn't ever say he likes them as much as I do. He likes beautiful women
like
as
I do
on the younger side, referring only to Epstein. So that's a bit of a misquote.
Well, it may be a bit of a misquote, but we get
it. But he's made similar quotes.
Let us count how many pedophiles and wife beaters are numbered among Trump's good
friends. That's right. That's right. I mean, there is, you know, he surrounds himself with horrible
shady people.
Shady people. I mean, there have been allegations and proven domestic violence against a number of these folks. They've left the administration. They're now working on his campaign. I mean, it's
Rosemary. But, did he say women or did he say girls?
No.
I'll try to find the exact quote.
Your point, I found the most interesting thing that after they made this deal to let him off the hook, basically, to get a slap on the wrist, they didn't tell the victims,
right.
Which is not only morally wrong, it's illegal. Mm-hmm. How did that happen? Why did it happen? If it were such a defensible plan, and the Miami Herald reporter is looking into this now, if it was such a defensible plan and it made sense and he's saying, yes, if I had left it in Florida, he wouldn't have gotten any time at all, why was it hidden?
Right.
Well, right.
Can
Acosta be impeached by Congress?
Well, that was the question I was going to ask.
Question.
Should Acosta go?
Yes, he should go.
Yes.
And so should Barr, for that matter.
Yep.
Because Barr was in a firm. I get that everybody deserves representation. Fine.
But how does this not come up in the vetting
Acosta? That's right. And how does it not come up in the vetting of Barr?
Well, wait a second now. We got a president of the United States.
Who doesn't care?
We're looking at.
Well, I know, but he doesn't have to be vetted. He's
vetted by the American people.
Impeachment.
I'm pretty sure you can impeach a cabinet member. Sure.
By the way, and I realize this is secondary to the horrendous things that he did to these women and underage girls, but and I am making a judgment here, and I apologize to anyone that I offend by saying this, but the guy sounds like a complete wacko.
Yeah.
On the second
he's a creep.
On the second floor of his apartment in Manhattan, there. First of all, the sidewalk, that's heated, that's okay. He owns that entire 71st Street and
I think it's
5th
the largest
Madison.
Townhouse.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
21,000
feet. Which was for some reason given to him by very generous Lex Wexner.
Very weird how generous that happened.
That billionaire is to give another billionaire the most expensive townhouse in New York City.
On the second floor is a mural that Mr. Epstein had commissioned in recent years, a photorealistic prison scene that included barbed wire corrections officers and a guard station with Mr. Epstein portrayed in the middle. Also, there was a dining room that fit 20 people with multiple computer monitors and a phone alongside each one. There was oddities such as a life-size female doll hanging from a chandelier and had arranged a small dining room to resemble a beach scene. There was also a chess set with each figurine suggestively dressed. Each, he noted, was modeled after one of his staffers.
As
if you need more, I will tell you this final little tidbit that is way too far down in this article because I think it should have been but the article describes a main hallway that was covered with rows of artificial eyeballs from England that had been made from wounded soldiers.
That is so awful.
He is a sick
wow.
guy.
So I'm adding that into the equation as to what we know about this guy.
Yeah. That's the first I've heard of that. How is that not
I've never heard that.
No, that's been around. Yeah.
Boy, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. So,
sicko.
So
well,
let's
you
go.
Know,
imagine we being have, a 14-year-old yes, girl sick. Would be in that setting.
Right, right. It is sick. But the more we call him a wacko or sick, the more we give him a mental illness defense. And this is not what this is. This man is criminally on the hook for crimes against women and girls. And girls. I mean, 14, 15 years old. Don't talk to me about the age of consent. Don't talk to me about, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, which I'm sure there'll be plenty of people who would say that. Oh, if they didn't want to do it, they wouldn't be there. I remember what it was like to be a 14-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to say no to somebody who has power. It just is.
You will hear that though against those girls.
Sure they will. Yes.
And they took money because he paid them like $200.
Yeah, well, which also, is probably more money than they've had in a really long time.
You mentioned the reporting on this, but the reporting has consistently used the word recruiting.
They were to bring in other girls.
And a woman who works for him is complicit in this.
Yeah, can we go back for 1 second?
Recruiting these girls.
I'm sorry, can we go back 1 second? Because I had not known about that 2002 quote, did you say?
I'm trying to find. Trump.
That is extraordinary.
Trump quote.
No. I'm not talking about that, which you were also looking for. I'm talking about the complicity between Trump and this fella in terms of what they're doing, what they were doing at the time. Wasn't there a court case or something? That got,
The rape case.
Yeah, the rape case.
Yes.
The one that Libby brought up.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Which may account for a lot of what subsequently was said by Trump.
I've known Jeff for 15 years. Terrific guy. He's a lot of fun to be with. It is even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side.
See, so beautiful women, and there's nothing in there about as I do on the younger girl's part.
Wait.
No,
wait.
But there is on the younger side part.
Yes.
Yeah, he did. He did note that.
And then the previous, and then people are bringing out. I don't know whether this is fair or not. That Ivanka has said that going back to those quotes of Ivanka Trump saying that she had laid down the law that her father couldn't date any of her friends when she was growing up.
Jeez,
just for whatever that's worth.
He is a predator. I mean, the multiple women were up around 20 who have accused him credibly, and nothing happens.
This is fascinating. And you know what? If it's out there, we're going to know about it.
Yeah.
Well, you can see how he operated. I guess it was almost 10 years ago when he was first prosecuted. He had to know that he had the prosecutors in his favor, he knew that he was going to get off. Now that he does not have that idea that he's going to get off and that he has the prosecutors in his pocket, is he going to start telling tales about President Trump, about President Clinton, and his other powerful friends?
And remember, this is a federal crime, which means that Trump, God forbid, has the ability to pardon him.
Right.
I'm
going to take a break. Okay. When we come back, we'll continue,
right,
I promise.
Thank you.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Well, good morning.
Conversations in the break.
What? Just because I said my boyfriend left me and I hurt my knee. Singer songwriter alert.
We're listening to Andy McKee, by the way, and we have the playlist online at wamc.org/roundtable, and we have a lot of letters. Alan is here to read them. Thank goodness, and we'll get started.
Okay. Good morning. Are you so biased that you completely fail to even mention that Epstein is linked to having Bill Clinton as a buddy? And
we mentioned it.
Rosemary said it stop these kind of letters. Just to start you up, I said it, and we still got the letter.
And I said it at 7:45 this morning.
Good for you.
And we mentioned it yesterday many times.
Right.
But okay, go ahead.
And Jeff says it's not just Trump. Yes, Jeff.
We know. We got it.
It's men.
Pierre writes.
Nice. That's nice. Okay. You and I can agree on that.
We can.
100%.
Pierre says on the question of Epstein, men. More like rich white men. As a black man, if I was accused of soliciting a minor, especially a white minor, it would be the end of me. Please be careful about these things.
Great point.
Absolutely right.
Good point.
Absolutely
great point.
Right.
There you go. Okay, and now, Michael says, there was a story that came out, that Trump and Epstein should be charged with rape. Could it be you be a bit more specific about your source for this allegation?
Oh, yeah,
no, there was a case back in the early 2000s, I think it was, that had been with the woman who was 14 at the time. She withdrew the case, but you can Google and find the legal papers. They're out there.
And then Naomi says, so glad you are, Alan, back in the studio and getting better each day. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. And Tom says, euphemistic press, sex with underage girls, some call this child rape.
Okay, child rape.
Todd says, expose them. Trump, Epstein, Weinstein, Clinton, et al. All need to be exposed for the pigs they are. Public needs to call out Trump for all the garbage he continues to surround himself with. Nothing but dirty old men taking advantage of everything they can. I want to add, showing the women Trump has molested or raped on every channel, including Fox News, for all to see. Good old boys ain't so good, and that's from Lisa in Pequot.
And then, vote, Lisa. Go vote.
And Neil says, Trump sexual assaults. What has this country come to when the man who is president has been credibly accused of sexual assault by at least 20 women and the entire Republican Party, including His Holiness Mike Pence, responds with collective, nothing to see here, folks. How many other women has he attacked who have been afraid to come forward? I just can't wrap my head around this. Neil from Wendell. And then finally from Keith, Acosta is complicit. Panel, in a disgusting irony, U.S. Labor Secretary Alex Acosta is responsible for the United States policy and enforcement of child labor, forced labor, and human trafficking. How many children have been abused and lives ruined by Epstein since Acosta made this deal with him in 2008? I'd rather see Acosta dragged before Congress on national TV before he resigns. Get it all out in the open. By the way, is there any chance, and that's the end of those letters, is there any chance he won't be forced out?
Who?
Acosta?
Probably not.
I mean,
I think he will be forced out.
You got Trump sitting there with his hand on his head. Uh-huh. You got all these stories about Trump and his sexual peccadillos and the rest of it. If he disciplines his Secretary of Labor and kicks him out, does he risk, more coming at him on this side?
Yes,
well,
I think so.
So what are they? He's going to keep him there as a shield.
He may.
Yeah. So I found the papers.
I just found it too.
Jane Doe, proceeding under a pseudonym, plaintiff versus Donald J. Trump and Jeffrey E. Epstein, defendants, complaint for rape, sexual misconduct, criminal sexual acts, sexual abuse, forcible touching, assault, battery, intentional and reckless infliction of emotional distress, duress, false imprisonment, and defamation. And this was filed.
1994 was the incident.
Right. The incident was 94 when the woman was 14. This was filed
13
and entered.
Is what I have.
Oh, 13?
Okay.
It was filed and entered on September 30th, 2016. And on November 4th, Jane Doe told her lawyers to withdraw the suit. The woman's identity supposedly is being protected. Yes, she was 13 years old.
And named in that was an anonymous witness who claimed to be an employee of Epstein's.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we know.
So, I mean, there's a lot. You can go online and read the whole thing, the whole legal brief or whatever this is, the complaint. Somebody who was 13 at the time and is now, in 2016, it was a lot older, mm-hmm. at least 30, isn't going to make this up. Isn't going to come forward like this and risk her whole life, just like the woman who came forward against Brett Kavanaugh. We're not going to do this just because, let's have some fun. This is not fun. This woman has to recount this entire part of her life over and over again.
The question, of course, that occurs to almost everybody is, why did it go away?
Was there a settlement?
Nobody knows.
All right. Let's move on to other things and talk about other subjects in the 20 minutes that we have left. Again, Governor Cuomo coming on talking with Alan in just a bit. So we will get to as many things as we possibly can in our time left. There is the British ambassador story that...
I love that story.
Donald Trump says that the U.S. will no longer deal with the British ambassador who called the White House inept. This is British ambassador to the United States, Kim Derrick. President Trump said Monday that the United States would no longer deal with Mr. Derrick, who disparaged his administration in a whole collection of diplomatic cables leaked and published over the weekend. The ambassador described the Trump White House as inept, dysfunctional, and unpredictable. Trump tweeted his displeasure on Monday and more than hinted that he is looking forward to a change. I do not know the ambassador, but he is not liked or well thought of within the U.S. We will no longer deal with him. The good news for the wonderful United Kingdom is that they will soon have a new prime minister. The British embassy declined to comment. And then I have to find this, but the president then did more tweeting overnight on this, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trump said, quote, the wacky ambassador that the UK foisted upon the United States is not someone who we are thrilled with. A very stupid guy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So where did the leak come from? That's the most interesting mm-hmm. to me. I immediately thought of the Russians. Among his other criticisms was that Trump's connection with shady Russians could not be discounted, nor could we hope that there would be any improvement in the Trump administration. So did the Russians do it? Cybersecurity, of course, is one of their fortes. However, the British government seems to think it was somebody within
the inside
government.
Yeah.
And the other thing that struck me is how stupid Theresa May has been to defend Trump in light of one insult to her from him after another.
Yeah,
you know, he goes to her country the first trip over and criticizes her to the press, and she graciously blames the press rather than Trump. She invites him, she keeps her promise to have him over for a state visit, vets him, makes him feel, you know, like the big deal that he wants to be, and then he immediately goes from the ambassador, who is only marginally connected to the prime minister, to attacking her. Foolish woman.
And this ambassador is saying stuff that, you know, you read the ambassador's quotes, you would have to imagine that every European ambassador to the United States would say these same things about mm-hmm. the president. And, yes. They were certainly critical comments, but I wouldn't say out of the ordinary.
Nope. No, didn't our own Secretary of State say something remarkably similar? Yeah. He's an effing moron?
Yes. Yes, he did. Yes. And John Kelly, you know, I can't wait for him to write his
book. There was that.
There was that little thing. Yeah. It was not a dissenting opinion. You're absolutely right. Also, you know, this idea that cables are filled with very frank and very critical comments, mm-hmm. there's nothing extraordinary about that, as the WikiLeaks cable leak showed a few years ago. America was in trouble for saying much the same thing about German officials.
How do we feel about... I'm sorry, Alan.
No, I was just going to say there's an old rule that I remember about never putting anything on paper.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, how do we feel about these, just about these cables being published and leaked anyway?
I'm a transparency person. I think they should be giving speeches about this, not just writing them back to the Home Office.
Well, if you are, you know, Great Britain, or if you're England and you're worried about, you know, what little you have left in this world, and Donald Trump has the ability to take it away, you've got to think twice.
That's what Theresa May has done. And wow, look where that got her.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue and we'll finish up. We have the governor on at 10 o'clock this morning with Alan. We will be right back with Alan, JP, Rosemary, and Libby right after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Very nice to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. It is the 9th of July. Alan Chartok, JP Miller, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post making up our panel this morning. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. And we'll have the governor coming on at 10 o'clock this morning. We have a few more moments to talk about what is happening in the news cycle. Well, it was bound to happen. We didn't know when, but it was bound to happen. A Democratic presidential candidate dropped out yesterday.
Yeah, but then
now
coming in.
We don't know. I think there were bets on who the first one would be, but it turned out to be the California representative Eric Swalwell, who became the first serious Democratic primary candidate to end his campaign. The polling wasn't moving after the debate, Mr. Swalwell told reporters Monday afternoon. We didn't want to just screw around here. We wanted to grow with the threshold. And if we didn't, we wanted to get out. Swalwell was the candidate who made a pretty good line at the debate 2 weeks ago with Joe Biden of saying that there was a man who said it was time to pass the torch, and that man was Joe Biden 20 years ago.
And he said, I'm ready to take the torch.
So now, as Democrats have fretted over the possibility of a drawn-out primary battle, strategists, politicians, and officials are growing more confident about the field narrowing soon, certainly after the Iowa caucuses in early February, which is still a really long way away.
I still don't get it. I've never gotten it. I have a concept that I've been writing about for years called the who-he. Who-he? Stalwell, these other guys, they got in. Now he says that the reason he's getting out is he's going to fight like hell to keep his congressional seat. And that's what's going on. But I don't get it. It always comes down to me that one's mother told them when they first got elected to the
Dog
Catcher
position, president.
You're going to be the president.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, Tom Steyer is in now, the billionaire who called for the impeachment.
Tom Steyer is running?
Yes.
Wow, that's big
he's
news.
Yep, just came
that's
out this
big
morning.
News. Wow.
So
I thought Stalwell, in the debate, other than Senator Harris, I thought he had the most memorable line of the debate, but I guess that didn't translate
into
poll numbers.
His territory about I'm the new generation, it's time for us to take over, that's Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah.
And that's his territory, and he's like going gangbusters on the fundraising, and I think that's what led Smallwell to say, okay, I'm not going to rise. Yeah.
We also have reporting that's being done that indicates that Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper is looking to get out to run for Senate in that state, and also that Alaska Democratic Senator Mike Gravel will also get out to keep that office.
Right,
and then didn't even know he was running.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
And they people
didn't
are
know
talking
he was on
about
the, list.
The guy from Montana, who I liked. I saw him in 60 Minutes to run for Senate, U.S. Senate against. He's the governor. He's the Democratic governor of Montana to run against whoever it is who's the Republican.
Governor Steve Bullock.
Yeah, Bullock.
Do you guys think?
And he could win that.
Steve Daines.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Do you guys think that this may have been a setup to get these people enough publicity to run?
Oh, sure.
It doesn't hurt, right?
Sure. I mean, I think they're all running for cabinet positions. I think that's part of it, too. It's about getting their names out there.
I've not really seen Tom Perez in the Democratic National Committee show any sort of strategy along the lines you're suggesting.
You make a point.
I would like that to be true, but
I said, do you think?
I ain't seen it.
Yeah.
Well, you don't see it from the national committee, but you can definitely see it from the individual campaigns.
Individuals' campaigns, yeah.
I'm going to look at the Empire Report tomorrow and see whether this makes it to the Empire Report, this question of why people drop out. That's JP's.
It's a high bar to get on there.
I have a...
but you know somebody, so you never know.
So I ask you this question because I think you will know the answer to this, so I don't mean to put you on the spot, and I can certainly Google it, but do you know when is the next debate?
I think it's just a couple weeks away. Yeah. Maybe 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
The 30th, they said, right?
July 30th.
And do they cut down a person? Is it 9 aside now?
Musical
or
chairs.
8 aside?
We'll find out.
This is the CNN. This will be a CNN's debate. Oh, they're going to do a live draw. That'll be fun. This is like the Kentucky Derby now.
What do you
mean
a live draw?
This is Tom Perez. That's the stuff he does.
Yeah.
So they're going to have a draw live on TV to say which night the candidate will appear in the debates airing later this month on CNN. Dana Bash Don Lemon and Jake Tapper will moderate the Democratic National Committee sanctioned debates over two nights, July 30th and the 31st, from Detroit, according to CNN. Both nights will air exclusively on CNN and CNN Espanol. The debates will also be simulcast on CNN International. So the draw to determine the lineup for each night will air on July 18th in the 8 o'clock hour on CNN. That's the Anderson Cooper time slot. And so that the network would have additional details coming about how the draw will go. More than 20 candidates are vying for the party's presidential nomination, but pre-established qualifying rules state only 20 candidates split across two nights are eligible to participate in these debates.
And will, and for us New Yorkers, will de Blasio get up on the stage again, and will Gillibrand get up on the stage again? And I think if it's 10 each side, I think that they'll they should likely qualify.
Interesting.
Yeah, because as the field gets smaller, then you're going to pretty much end up with everyone on there.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So, and then we assume, I would assume, that there would also be a mixing up, that we wouldn't have the same groups. There would be a different grouping, so that we would have Elizabeth Warren, perhaps, and Bernie Sanders on the same stage, or Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden on the same stage.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be fun?
Well, and if it's a live drawing, it could be not balanced. It could be the kind of the JV team and the varsity team, or it could be...
Well, I don't know how they draw it. Is it ping pong balls in the thing, or what is it?
It sounds like it's got to be
paper,
ping pong balls.
Paper taped to the bottom of the...
Don't we have enough reality TV in politics without this? I do not approve of this.
Well, I don't approve of Don Lemon being a moderator either.
Oh,
but
there's a good point. There's an excellent point.
There is definitely that.
But and also,
such a silly man.
This is also coming. Let us not forget that this will be just 1 week after the debate will happen. A week after Robert Mueller.
Right.
Testifies before the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committee. So that will be interesting as well.
Mm.
Yes. Okay. Yes, it will.
Okay. We should put that on the list of possible topics for July 18th, don't you think?
Yeah.
One other story here in our final moments. Obamacare at stake as appeals court hears case backed by Trump. A panel will hear arguments today in the appeal of a lower court ruling striking down the law. Millions could lose coverage if that ruling is upheld. The case could make its way to the Supreme Court ahead of the 2020 elections. Alan, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting question. I passed the rosemary.
I was just saying to Libby that I thought it was really interesting. I hope that the requests are in, like, right now, because the whole thing is going to go to the Supreme Court, and God knows how they'll rule right now.
It's also really tough. Now that Obamacare has been implemented for this long, and it is part of how people are operating, both businesses and individuals in the country, they better have something that's going to be better. And even if it is better, as we saw with Obamacare, you're going to get criticized.
They're not going to have anything that's better. That's the thing. Unless they do Medicare for all, there's not going to be anything that's any better than this. And a lot of his people are going to get thrown off of health insurance right before the election.
There are 20 million people whose health care is at stake with this ruling.
You know, the thing is that some of these folks say, I hate Obamacare, but don't touch my Affordable Care Act because they don't know.
Yeah. Okay, but I still think we go back to Trump, who has told us from day one that he's going to come up with a better plan.
Yeah.
Well. And has never done it because he doesn't have one. He has not the slightest idea about how to do that. And Americans will be better off than they ever were before.
Well, to me, the issue here is the power that Mitch McConnell has yielded in changing the judiciary. Yeah. This is a fluke ruling. Mm-hmm. No one, including, I think, Texas, which led the coalition of states attacking the law again, to win this ruling in the sweeping way it did. Not only did he say, yeah, you're right, the zero tax is unconstitutional, but to say you can't just decide about the zero tax, you have to decide the whole law. That's like handing it on a platter to Trump, who wants to end Obamacare. That who would have thought that would happen after it's already been, what, twice to the Supreme Court? Twice.
JP, anything?
I think he's in a tough position on healthcare. I think that it's almost like he's hoping that the Supreme Court saves him on this and does not strike it down.
Well, the polling has been pretty specific. The House of Representatives went the way that they did to the Democrats on the basis of the healthcare. Debate.
Well, Alan, this also plays into your thinking about John Roberts. He is going to be the person who is aware that 20 million people are going to not like a decision that goes a certain way, and he wants to maintain the credibility of the court. That's exactly the reason he flipped on ruling against Obamacare in the first time it went up. I can see him being very conflicted by this.
He wants this court to be known as the Roberts Court, not
in
the
Trump favorable
court.
Way, not
right.
a negative
That's
way.
Right.
Yeah. So he's in a really interesting position on this.
Let us wrap up. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Alan will be on with the governor of the state of New York, Andrew Cuomo. We will take a break. My thanks to J.P. Miller, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. Thank you all.
You're welcome.
All right. Alan, you're being held after class.
Held responsible.
We're going to keep you going. We'll be right back after this short break.